thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I am not.
Here's John Williams.
A scarecaster. Keep that in mind as we do the show and as we live our lives. I'm not a scarecaster. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3 today. And on Saturdays, don't miss our show from 10 to noon. Saturday, 10 to noon, we're at the Blackhawks shindig. That's this weekend. We've got some Blackhawks convention tickets to give away between now and 3. Hooray for you if you win them, and you can still buy them at Blackhawks, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. At least I think you can. I know you can win some here between now and 3 o'clock. Blackhawks convention tickets. I'm not a scarecaster, but dang, that weather this weekend was really something, wasn't it? I'll play for you now the audio. This is Saturday. Saturday, it was 100 degrees. At least it was that on my car thermometer. It was probably warmer, but my car thermometer was showing 100 degrees. You almost get nervous when you're looking at 100 degrees because, I don't know, it just seems like that's stressing your car and your world. And if you have to get out of your car because your car breaks down, now you're having a really bad day. And Brenda and I were driving down to Pekin for her class reunion. So we're driving along looking at 100, 100, 100. We're listening to the Cubs game, and this is at least the TV version of what happened when the weather changed at Wrigley Field.
And Baez makes the catch.
I don't know that I've ever heard fans cheer the weather the way they just did. The wind turned around and really cooled things off, which fans really appreciating it.
Unbelievable. The wind just went.
Listen to that.
From 15 miles an hour out to 15 miles an hour in. Thank you, Mother Nature.
That is the crowd.
Great relief of 2019.
That is the crowd cheering the breeze.
I love that.
It was the dangdest thing. It dropped 20-some degrees in moments. They say I wasn't there. That's from the TV. The game actually wasn't on the radio. Cubs games aren't on the radio this year. It's tragic. But the wind, if you were there, maybe you know. It was evidently just remarkable, right? This thing just came in. Did that happen to you where you were, Steve? Because I was in the car driving down to Pekin. But the wind comes in, and it just wiped out that heat. Whew. Thank you, Lord.
We actually bought movie tickets because we didn't want to be...
I was thinking about the same thing. I've been thinking that a lot last week. Let's just go to a movie.
But our timing was bad. So we were in the movie when we missed the storm and we missed the weather shift. So when we came out, it was better.
Sunday, then, we're driving back from Brenda's class reunion. Shout out to those of you in Pekin and who once went to Pekin High School or still do. Nice place, nice people. Had a real nice time.
Does she have classmates who haven't gotten out yet?
Well, she graduated just a couple of years ago. We're coming back, and it started to rain. And for, I would say, 45 minutes to an hour, we drove through the hardest rain I have driven through in my life. It was one of those things where everybody has their flashers on. You're afraid to go forward because you might run into somebody. You're afraid to stop because you might get rear-ended. All of the overpasses were full of cars and poor motorcyclists who had pulled over. This is Route 55, Sunday afternoon, middle of the afternoon, coming from central Illinois back into Chicago.
I was at the Cub game yesterday in a skybox.
I know you were at the game.
And so the wind was blowing right at us. And where yesterday was, or 2 days ago, it had been 115 degrees.
Yeah.
We actually turned the heaters on above us. I'm not kidding.
This is our world. I'm not saying this is not a political statement. All I'm saying is more days like this thanks to climate change. Climate change is going to make the weather more volatile. You had 100 degrees one day. The next day you need a sweater. And in the middle you get rain, unlike rain you see sometimes for years and years. For an hour we drove through a rain that was so hard you almost couldn't believe it. Karen, were you at the game when the breeze came in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And at first I didn't even realize. I mean, I felt the cool breeze, but, you know, I didn't realize that the whole crowd was screaming. I mean, so crazy, you know, for the cool air. Yeah, it was quite a game.
So you were sitting outside, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so then eventually that cool air got you and it was noticeable, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, immediately. Yeah, it felt very, very good.
It's like, can you imagine what the bill would be to air condition Wrigley Field, an outdoor stadium? You'd have to get giant fans and condensers. But it felt like that, huh?
Yes, it did. I felt sorry for the players. I mean, you know, they had to do what they had to do. And, you know, at least, like, you know, a lot of the women, I'll say, were making trips to the ladies' room simply because it was air-conditioned really well.
And by the way, Wrigley Field's accommodations are not very accommodating. It was so bad, people were actually volunteering to go in there. That's how bad it was.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, how about that? I'm glad you called. I'm glad you're listening. Thanks, Karen.
All right, John. Have a great day.
So it was like that, huh? By the way, Steve, one other thing happened to us as we were coming back from the class reunion. We going down there around 6:30 or quarter of 7, and we wrapped up around 10, 10:30, something like that. And you know, at a class reunion like that, you have a couple of cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're driving back, and you're just as you're your best driver.
You didn't come back that night, did you?
No, but we left and went to a hotel in the area.
Okay.
And so the speed limit said 35, and I was doing 34, and I looked up, and there are cherries in my window and my rear-view mirror. And I just think, oh, crap. You know how your heart starts to race when you're getting pulled over?
Yes.
Like, and, you know, it's like you didn't murder anybody. Or you, what did you do? You didn't come to a complete stop? You don't know, but it can't be that bad. But I'd had some drinks at this thing, and I thought, you know, I'm sure I'm fine. But I don't know what my number is, and I just don't want this to be happening. And the nicest police officer in America tapped on my window. I rolled it down, and he said, do you realize that your back lights aren't on? And then he said, how long have you had this car? And I said, it's funny you ask that, because it doesn't even have a CD player, and it's a really new car. He said, yeah, I get a lot of these. He said, you see all those switches on your light console there on the light stem? There's four settings. These cars are too complicated.
So you never really drive in the dark in the city.
I don't know which setting to have my lights on to make sure I'm fully functional and operational. There are four different settings. And so I said, I don't know which one of these to put it on. And he said, yeah, I get a lot of that. You see, and he knew where the thing should be. And he said, turn it all the way to the right or left. And I did. And he said, you're good to go now. Have a nice day. And I said, thank you, Jesus. He said, my name's not Jesus. I said, thank you, sir.
Had you recently valeted?
Good question. Maybe. I mean,
I've had that where I valet parked, and my lights are always set on automatic.
Yeah.
So I valeted, picked up the car, just started driving home, but didn't think to turn the headlights on. And actually, I was driving down the Edens, I think, and as it was getting dark, people are waving at me. I had no idea what they're talking about.
Hey!
But like the night before, the guy had turned my lights off, which I never do.
Do you think, hey, they think, hey, there's Steve Bertrand.
No,
he's just a celebrity.
That has never occurred to me.
So that was part of my weekend. Waves 4 to 7 feet expected on the lake. They could be 8 feet if you're listening to us in northwest Indiana. Winds up to 25 miles an hour, and so if you go to the beach, don't go in the water. If you do go in the water, be careful because it's very dangerous and will be until 11 o'clock tonight or 5 a.m. Tuesday in Indiana. 7 to 8 foot waves on Lake Michigan. I'm looking out the window here on the 18th floor of our new studios. I don't see the waves yet, but I don't have a real good angle. So Rajna Krishnamurthy, he is on the Intel Committee for the House of Representatives in Congress on CNN. I'm not sure that the ongoing debate about what the president's tweeted two weekends ago now, is necessary. Everybody's sort of drawn their lines in the sand, and I think it's time for us to move on. And with that in mind, I'm not exactly sure what to make of the Republican County Chairman's Committee in Illinois, which posted a poster of the squad, those four congresswomen of color, and the poster makes it look like it's a movie. And they're sort of Charlie's Angels, and they're called the Jihad Squad. And that was posted because it's so funny on an official Republican Party county chairman's page in the state of Illinois. It's since been deleted. And they said, we don't know who did it. Somebody was evidently authorized to post, but should not have been. And they're apologizing. And maybe that's just where that story should be. But Rajna's got to deal with some of this. At least he has to deal with the intel side, not what happened in Illinois. But the committee has got hearings, and he's going to be starting on Wednesday. Wanted to talk to Raj a little bit about that. He'll say hi to us after this. Hey, John says, this texter, I don't feel bad for those players. They are well compensated. I do that all the time. When I think about the travel that the players go through or the managers, but Major League Baseball teams particularly, you turn on the TV, they're in San Francisco. The next day you turn on the TV and they're performing at a very high level in Milwaukee. And you say, wait a minute, how did that happen? Well, they got on an airplane right after the game. They flew. They got to sleep at 3 in the morning. They woke up at 9 in the morning. And then they got out to the ballpark. And then they did it again. And then they got on an airplane. And they do that for 9 months. And I just don't think that's very easy. I think we completely lose sight of that. And then some of the days, it's 100 degrees out there. They are well compensated. That doesn't change the fact that that must have been very difficult to do. John, the automatic feature for the headlights does not work when it's raining. You tell me now, 630. Hey, John Williams, some 20 years ago, we drove to the Cubs game from the suburbs. It was 90 degrees. On the way down, there was a weather wall, 70s on the other side. The game time, it was in the upper 50s, if memory serves. It changes that quickly. Well, it sure did on Saturday, and the crowd went wild. Raja Krishnamurthy is the 8th Congressional District Democratic Congressman from the Chicago area. He's joined us many times. I turned on the TV today, and he was on CNN from Chicago. Congressman, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, John. Good. How are you doing?
Good. You're in Chicago today, then, are you?
I am. And then back to D.C. for an action-packed week.
Yeah, no kidding. Wednesday, now you're on the Intel, you're on a couple of committees, but it'll be the Intel committee that you'll be sitting on Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. On Wednesday, it's Mueller time, so to speak. We have Bob Mueller and the Intel committee in the early afternoon. And then Thursday, I just want to point out for your audience that we're having the first ever hearing. I'm the chairman of a subcommittee of oversight. We're bringing in the founder of Juul Labs to grill him about the epidemic happening among our youth with regard to vaping.
Let's just talk about that for a second, and then we'll spend more time on the Intel on Wednesday. But what will be the purpose of this grilling? It's a legal product, right? And maybe not as bad as tobacco.
It's legal to sell to adults. However, it's illegal to sell to minors, and it's also illegal to target them, which is what we believe may be happening. I don't know if you've seen what's going on with the advertising and marketing of vapes or e-cigarettes. It looks eerily familiar to the type of advertising and marketing that happened with cigarettes and Marlboros and so forth. I just want to point out two statistics for your consideration. One is 20% of high school students are now vaping. 5% of middle schoolers are using e-cigarettes. And the number of people who were vaping among our youth went up by 78% in 1 year. And 75% of the market is owned by Juul. So this is very serious. We're having a whole new generation of people addicted to nicotine, many of whom would never have even started smoking. And so it is personal for me as well, because I have three young children, and I just don't want this to happen to anybody.
Raj, those numbers shock me. 20% of high schoolers vape. I wonder if there's overlap.
It's crazy.
Do they also smoke cigarettes? It's probably a much smaller percentage, but say it's 5% of kids smoke cigarettes and 20% vape. That's one quarter of the high school population is doing one of those two. I got two words for you to throw at the Juul people on Thursday: tobacco settlement. If they're smart, they remember. And you know, the tobacco industry was able to weather that, right? They're so gigantic. You can find them billions, and they're still okay. But you'd think they'd want to avoid that.
That's exactly right. And the lawsuits are beginning now against Juul Labs.
Really?
They are, And I think they've got to take a strong look in the mirror and figure out, do they want to go the way of Philip Morris and Marlboro, or do they want to go a different route? But we're going to be asking them very tough questions on Thursday. This is the first congressional hearing of its kind, and in any case, that's also consuming our time right now.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, who will be sitting in front of you on Wednesday?
Wednesday is Bob Mueller, so on the Intelligence Committee, he's going to be testifying alone, we're going to have at least 2 hours with him.
So will you last time we spoke and you sort of looked behind the curtain for us and showed us how different Congress people will have different areas of attack or inquiry, if you will. What are you going to be focusing on when you get to talk to Mr. Mueller?
I'm still hashing out the questions, but I think, you know, one big line of questioning that he will be asked about is, you know, what he did not do with regard to the investigation. What were, you know, Donald Trump drew some red lines around the investigation, and, you know, one of the questions is, did he observe those red lines or cross them? Did he get into the president's finances? Did he look at the counterintelligence risks of the links between Trump officials and the Russian government, regardless of whether they amounted to a criminal conspiracy?
How long will he be testifying, Congressman? Do you know? Will he be there for a couple of days?
No. It's basically the better part of a day. So he'll be in the Judiciary Committee for 3 hours and then the Intel Committee for two, at least.
Look, Congressman, it's Steve in the newsroom. I think John was getting at, do the Democrats have sort of a narrative for how they want the day to go with questioning? I mean, is there going to be an opening, a middle, and a close through all of you, or are you each independently coming up with your own questions?
Okay, so we're trying to avoid kind of overlap and duplication of questions, and so trying to give some idea about what each of us wants to question Bob Mueller about. That being said, there's a little, I mean, it's real life TV, so to speak, unfolding. So there has to be some ability to respond to answers that he gives,
yeah,
or simply to clean up, you know, or give him an opportunity to answer allegations that might be made by the other side. So, for instance, today, the president, I don't know if you saw this, he tweeted that Bob Mueller is extremely conflicted. I think he called him highly conflicted. And I think that's going to be part of the narrative tomorrow from the other side. And so giving him an opportunity to potentially respond to something like that might be a useful exercise.
Well, Bill Barr found that there was nothing to prosecute the president on, and people were frustrated because they feel that Mr. Mueller fell short on that. He must have had an opinion. Will it be the purpose of this investigation, this testimony, to get him to say, yes, you should bring charges? Is that the holy grail for Democrats on this?
Well, it very well could be asked of him. I personally wouldn't be asking him that question, since I'll be focused on some of the facts and findings of Volume 1. But right. I think Volume 2, with regard to obstruction of justice, I do think that there might be questions about, you know, well, if he was not a, you know, sitting president, would you indict him? That kind of thing. I anticipate that some questioning might happen along those lines. But I think that he will probably stick to his report, but even if he does, I think him saying, giving voice to those findings would be significant, given that, you know, the vast majority of the public hasn't read the report.
Do you think this
go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry, Congressman. Do you think Wednesday is going to be a satisfying day for Democrats or a dissatisfying
That's
day?
That's what I'm wondering.
I think that either way, if he gives voice to the findings, if he says what he found, that will be significant in and of itself. I think that the vast majority of the public hasn't read the report. I think that, you know, it's kind of like a lot more people have seen Godfather the movie than read the book. And I think that's,
I understand that,
in part, what's going to happen here.
Here's a debate we've been having for a while, and that is, it doesn't seem like he's been real anxious to testify. He has not spoken publicly about this since he was appointed to investigate the president. So for the first time, we're going to hear this man's voice, and it sounds like he just wants to stand by the written report. So I sense that there might be some frustration given a chance to finally ask him about why he pulled up short. If he just says it's all in the report, those are our findings. You'd think that this is your opportunity to get him to expand a little bit on that. And I guess that goes... Go ahead, Raj.
And I think that he is not confined by the report. We won't be confined in our questions by what's in the report. And certainly Bill Barr wasn't confined in his distortions of the report by what was actually in the report.
Right.
But that being said, if he answers questions about the report and clarifies sections and also just lays them out, I think that will be important because, as I said, I think a lot of people might be casually tuned into what his investigation was about, but I think they'll be paying close attention to what he says on Wednesday.
Raja Krishnamurthy is the 8th Congressional District Representative from the Chicago suburbs. Good luck to you, Congressman. We'll be watching. We'll be listening. We'll visit with you later in the week.
Sure. Thank you.
Life is short and sweet, concise like a haiku.
My wife's class reunion is coming up this weekend.
I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
So I started doing sit-ups yesterday so that I'll be in my best possible shape.
Let's talk about things. Let's talk about things.
You mean so Brenda said, wait, you just started doing push-ups now?
I did. I literally did some sit-ups this week, and then the next morning I looked the same. I was so disappointed.
We talk about things. We talk about things.
That would really get people to do exercise more if when you did the next day you could tell. Like you go for a jog, you eat right for a week, nothing! It's like, well, what the hell? Come on.
On and on and on and on and on and.
It's 140 on WGN. Got back from that class reunion to Brenda's over the weekend. Had a real nice time. And a shout out here to Rick Conradi and all of the folks from Pekin who were friends of my wife's, but very nice to me too. The senior vice president of sales and marketing at the White Sox is Brooks Boyer, who's in Cooperstown. I guess he was there to hear Harold Baines and the other five, which is one way to put them all. Hey, Brooks, it's John. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you? Hello from a very rainy Cooperstown right now.
Wasn't raining on y'all yesterday, though, was it?
No, it was a terrific day. And, you know, for those of us who know Harold or anybody who was a fan, it was a great day for the Chicago White Sox to see, to be able to be there and to see Harold inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame was an honor for me. And it was so great to see the White Sox fans that were there and the emotion that came from Harold as he gave a great speech. So it was a lot of fun.
I got to catch up. I was traveling a lot and busy this weekend and didn't see it, but I know that he's notoriously quiet. And the question was, will he talk much at all? He opened up a little bit, huh?
Yeah, he did open up, and his opening line was terrific when he said, "For all of you, all of those of you who know me, go ahead and start your stopwatches. I know you have bets on how short this will be." But I thought that was a great way to bring some levity to the start of his speech.
Yeah, it was a good day for Chicago baseball too, wasn't it? Lee Smith was also in that class, and he's deserving. And he's kind of the opposite. He's gregarious and funny.
Yeah, he did another terrific speech. All the speeches were really good. Very emotional coming from Roy Halladay's widow. She did a terrific job. But Lee was what you would have expected. He's got a big personality. It certainly showed and did a terrific job representing all of Chicago.
White Sox are going to put up netting all the way around, huh?
Well, we have put up netting that's going all the way around. Really all the way to the foul poles, both down both lines. You know, you're just seeing it far too often. You know, these are big grown men, the best in the world at what they do, and the ball is arriving at the bats faster, and the bats are swinging harder. So we have stats. You know, we see them on every single broadcast of the exit velocities, and we're wowed by these exit velocities north of 110 miles an hour for some of these home runs. But those foul balls are still going at that same rate.
Yeah.
So you know, we felt strongly that when you look at a ballpark experience, what comes first is safety and the safety of our fans. And you know, the game is different. We all have phones. We put these awesome video boards up with all sorts of stats and information.
Yeah.
People aren't dialing in on every single pitch and know what's coming. And even when you do know what's coming, it's coming in hot. So we felt it was the time, and we were the club that would be the ones to be the leaders in baseball and put netting up all the way to the foul poles to keep our fans as safe as they possibly can be.
So you won't catch a screaming line drive or get caught by a screaming line drive from home plate all the way down to the left field corner and the same the right field corner, right?
Yep, that is correct. We saw one just the other night. Francisco Lindor commented on it. You know, where you don't want to see, you know, the dad sprinting up the aisleway because his child was hit by a foul ball. That hopefully won't happen. Obviously foul balls will still go up above the netting.
Yeah.
But those screamers are going to be knocked down.
How high up does the netting go then, or how far into the stands would you have to be to catch one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think those my guess is, and I don't know this, so anybody who's listening can't hold me to it, but it's probably about, I'd say, 25 to 30 feet.
Yeah,
is the netting, and we're really happy with the technology of the netting because you can see right through it. It really, now if you're down real close. You may notice the netting, but any of our premium seats that are behind the nets now, we knew we were going to have some people that were concerned when we extended the netting to the end of the dugouts. And since then, people have gotten used to the netting, and it is a safer experience. And we feel that the same thing is going to happen as we extend the netting even further. Foul balls, the high foul balls,
yeah,
obviously are going to fall into the seats. It's just those rockets. That won't be entering the seats.
It's kind of funny, Brooks, because we're at this pivot point tonight for the first time in Major League Baseball. On the south side, you'll see the netting, or you won't see the netting, but it'll be there. But it's funny because you think once upon a time, batters didn't wear helmets, and hockey goalies right. didn't wear masks. Hockey fans didn't have netting. I'm sure that once we get used to this, it might take 20 minutes, and then we'll never look back. We'll never even think twice about it. Well, in fact, we'll think, boy, how crazy were they in the 2000s? They didn't have netting all the way around.
Correct. I mean, it's, these athletes, and pick a sport. Hockey's another good example. These athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. The technology has advanced on baseball bats or on hockey sticks, whatever it may be. With people coming to professional baseball games, you want them to have a strong sense of safety. You don't even want them to think about safety because it's ingrained into the process of us putting on a game. And this just takes it to the next level. And there will be other teams that will certainly follow suit. And I wouldn't be surprised if all the teams in Major League Baseball had this within the next year or two.
Yeah, if it takes 2 years, if you ask me, that's too long. I don't see any reason to drag your heels on this. And my guess is also, if the only concern is, and this is the only one I can imagine, that it's visually distracting to the fans, let technology drive that. Somebody come up with a better mousetrap. Let's do one that's made out of what looks like fishing lines, so you literally can hardly see it, right?
And that's where we're at now. It will likely improve because time does improve everything. But the reality is it's really easy to see through. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I was standing at first base, and I was looking down the left field line and into the seats, and you couldn't even tell that there was netting there. So the further you are away from the netting, because the people that actually built this system for us didn't put many, there's hardly any seams. And the seams is something you might be able to see. When it's just the netting for a long stretch, you really can't tell it's there. So, it's like everything that's a change and everything that's new, we do have to adjust to some changes. But I think our fans will do that. And at the same time, we just don't want to see, whether it's a child or an adult, anybody get hit and take a risk of being injured while enjoying a White Sox game.
Brooks Boyer from the Chicago White Sox in Cooperstown. He was there for the Hall of Fame induction, and he joins us on WGN Radio talking about the netting that's going up. It's up. You'll see it tonight, or as I said, won't see it tonight. You don't have any other plans this week while you're out there, do you, Brooks?
Well, I'm lucky. My 11-year-old happens to be playing in a baseball tournament. Dreams Park, which if anybody's had the opportunity to be out there, with a child to play in a game or to play in some of these games, they just do a terrific job. And we are in a rain delay right now. The good news is Fury Baseball is up 6-4 in the fourth inning against a team from Florida. So hopefully the boys can pull it out these last two innings once the rain stops.
What town are they from? What's the name of the team, did you say?
It's Central Florida. It's like the Central Florida something or others that they're playing. So it'd be a nice.
No, but what's your son's team's name?
Oh, we're Fury Baseball, Downers Grove Fury.
Fury Baseball
Fury
from Downers
Grove. And
we're up 6-4. I'm just passing this on to sports. We're up 6-4.
Exactly, up 6-4 in a rain delay in the bottom of the fourth.
And do they play 7 innings, those boys?
They play 6 innings in this tournament.
Yeah, and what position does your son play?
Brody is currently playing second base once we resume play. So he's played second base this entire game, and him and Brady Schellenmoser had a heck of a double play that they turned.
You know, at that age.
This is really good reporting. I can feel the ratings going up right now. Isn't this great?
We're doing well in Downers Grove.
That's right.
But I'm so happy for you and your son. That was such a big and sweet part of my life, and I miss it desperately. My son is 30 now, and he still plays in an adult men's fast pitch league. And Brenda and I, it's all we can do to not get in the car and drive out there and watch these, you know, 30-year-olds playing baseball because one of them is our son. It's just it's a great joy in life to do that.
That's one of the great things about baseball. Luckily, I have my 13-year-old out here with me as well, enjoying the tournament, and took advantage of the opportunity to see Cooperstown and see the induction. Baseball is a sport that bonds everybody, and you can remember back to those days when you were playing, whether it was in Little League or further and beyond. But baseball is just such a great sport that brings people together. And you're right. I'm enjoying every minute of this tournament with both boys.
Well, have a great week and continued success to the Sox in the second half. Not off to a great start, but we're not keeping score this second half anyway. We're all looking to next year and the year after. And by the way, it's been a great run up to this point. So continued success on the South Side.
Thanks, John. Go Sox. And we look forward to seeing all the fans out there this week and this weekend.
That's Brooks Boyer from the Chicago White Sox. That's true. Shortly after Brenda and I moved here, you know, we were living in Minnesota for a while, and Grant plays in this adult league. We watched him play in Little League. We watched him play in high school. We watched him play in college, and then it's cut off! And I just can't tear the Band-Aid off that easily. And so, I'm like, you know, we're not doing anything. And on a Wednesday night, we drove an hour out into the suburbs. It's like 9 o'clock at night. It's just some cricket-infested baseball field where guys are playing. The girlfriends don't go. Brenda and I were sitting in the stands.
It's like going to watch your son in a bowling league.
Does that happen?
Well, it's not supposed to, John. Let me ask you this. When your son was playing college ball,
yeah,
you look back on it fondly?
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy watching the games, honestly?
No, I was just horrible.
That's what I
was the best thing ever.
I remember you telling me stories about you'd walk all over, you couldn't stand watching, it was terrible.
You
wish you could do it again.
I would, and I get real close when he's 30, because it really doesn't matter now, but when he was playing and it mattered, quotes around mattered, I would usually be 150 to 300 yards away from the action. The closer I got, the more intense it got, the more miserable I became. And he was a good player, but it was just that painful to watch.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Lots of them.
Here's John Williams.
Have been texted in. Technically, I get credit for these. It's 209. This is John in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Lord have mercy, it's a nice day outside. I hope you're enjoying it and enjoying the show. We're here till 3. Saturdays 10 to noon. Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis are ready at 3 o'clock. And we were talking about, can you just play for us the TV broadcast of the Cubs game one more time with the wind blowing in? Because I got some interesting texts about what happened there. It was super hot. It was about 95 degrees at the ballpark. A cold front was coming through, and suddenly the temperature dropped.
And Baez makes the catch.
I don't know that I've ever heard fans cheer the weather the way they just did. The wind turned around and really cooled things off.
It's still nutty.
It's really appreciating it.
40,000 people cheering their heads off. This is not about a home run or anything.
15 miles an hour out. The 15 miles an hour in. Thank you, Mother Nature.
The great relief of 2019.
Teams should do that on hot days. Just do whatever it is that is that, and then you don't have to have the sausages race around. You don't have to do the kiss cam. Just turn on whatever it is you turn on. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. A texter from 630 said, this was before Bush was president and Al Gore and friends were all here to save us from climate change. Or maybe that was all just fake news. But anyway, Spearfish. I don't know where Spearfish is. Where is Spearfish? Do we know?
South Dakota.
Spearfish, South Dakota. Holds the world's record for the fastest recorded temperature change on January 22nd, 1943. At 7:30 in the morning, the temperature in Spearfish was 4 degrees below zero. The Chinook, or do you say Chinook, C-H-I-N-O-O-K. How do you say those winds, Mr. Chernobyl?
Well, correctly, you say Chinook, I believe.
The Chinook wind picked up speed rapidly, and 2 minutes later, the temperature was 45 above. It went from minus 4 to 45 above in 2 minutes. That would scare me. The 49-degree rise in 2 minutes set a world record that still holds. And this is at 7-something in the morning. By 9 a.m., the temperature had risen to 54 degrees from 4 below. Suddenly, the Chinook died down, and the temperature tumbled back to minus 4. The 58-degree swing took 27 minutes. The sudden change in temperatures caused glass windows to crack and windshields to instantly frost over. That's the stuff of the movies, you know. Wasn't there a movie where, I don't know, there's an Arctic blast and it freezes New York and then something happens?
I don't know. Spy Kids 2.
Spy Kids 2. Lots of text, by the way, about vaping. You know, Raja Krishnamurthy came on with us, the congressman from the 8th District in the suburbs, a little while ago. He told us about how he's going to get Bob Mueller, and I wish he hadn't called it Mueller time. Don't go there. Don't enjoy this too much. Don't make nicknames out of it. This is the single most important hearing you will ever have as a congressman, I'm going to guess. And I would treat it seriously, and I wouldn't try and score political points. Just use the 5 minutes you've got to generate as much information. But a lot of them are going to say, I feel that blah, 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 smackety. They're going to do that. You're going to throw your TV sets out the window.
So the congressman wouldn't say that they have an overarching plan, right?
They have to.
But then he said he was just going to be asking about the first chapter.
Right. It's so, in two. I mean, there's two parts, the first and the second. The first part's not the good stuff. The second part's got the good stuff. First part's got good stuff. Frankly, the only part I read was the first part. I didn't read the second part. I just didn't get through 450 pages. I read about 200. And even that's very interesting. It's all germane. But at the end of the day, here's what they want. They want Bob Mueller to say, I think there's enough evidence here to begin a, I don't know. They want
Bob Mueller to say if he wasn't president, he would have charged him.
For obstruction.
Well, they would take anything, but yeah, I think obstruction's most likely.
He's going to say, did you see that thing about jaywalking? Dead to rights. You guys missed it.
Like to charge him for lunch.
But the thing is, Mueller, this is where everybody loses. I guess the president would be happy about this, but if he just recites what he wrote, if he just goes back and forth to the report itself. Now, Raja felt that that would be, in a way, almost sufficient because people don't read the book, they watch the movie. If this is on TV and he gives voice to what was written, Raja thinks that would be pretty damning. I think a lot of us want more than that. We kind of know what's in there, but we'd like him to speak maybe as a counterbalance to what Bill Barr said. So what do you think about the Attorney General's office saying, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. How about that? What do you say about that? He has not spoken publicly since he was first charged with the investigation. Bob Mueller has not said a thing publicly. So this will be the first time. You don't even know what his voice sounds like.
He did the 9-minute speech.
Yeah, pardon me.
Right.
Pardon
yeah.
me. But that was after, you're talking about the one when it was all done.
Right, right.
And that was carefully crafted, and he didn't take questions. He didn't walk the rope for that one. Anyway, so Raja's going to have his big day on Wednesday. Thursday, then, he does the thing with the vapors. The people that make e-cigarettes, Juul has what percentage of the market? 80% or something like that? And they're going to go after the manufacturer of those things for targeting those products to kids, the same way tobacco companies did years ago. The texts that have come in out of that conversation, the two of them, more about the vaping. John, they're targeting kids because of the flavors they're selling. I'll just read this one again. John, my 17-year-old son is completely addicted to vape. It's ruining his health and his life. 20% of high schoolers vape. Every now and then you see him doing that, and it's just, you know, sneak a drag, and you think, oh, kid, I guess it's no different than kids who decided to smoke once upon a time. But to me, there's something so unglamorous and uncool about vaping. I understood the sort of allure of cigarettes, but vaping just seems tame and not that attractive. What do I know, right? That's just my take on it. So I don't know how, unless you were transitioning from tobacco, that seemed like a good idea. Except that maybe the big people, the adults, don't want you to do it. John, the vaping situation has become so pervasive that it's now been written into Chicago Public Schools' discipline policy. It's just awful now. Hey, John, back in the time of Betsy Ross's flag, tobacco was the cash crop made this nation. It was maintained by slavery. Therefore, vaping and cigarettes is a symbol of slavery. I'm just saying. Thank you, 630. You're very funny. Hey, Steve Bertrand, 815. They evacuate venues. This is what happened over the weekend. They had that big concert. I've never thought about it until you put it that way, Steve, but you're right. They're having a big concert outdoors, of course, at Pitchfork on the west side of the city. You got, what is it, 50, 100,000 young people there? All of whom needed a shower. Many of them before they got there. And then they said there's going to be a storm. And so they say, okay, everybody get out of the park. So they get out of the park and then they go stand somewhere else. Like the storm's going to respect that they're no longer in the park. I mean, either way, you're still going to be standing somewhere. So I get that, Steve. I see your point. And maybe if you just think about it mathematically, the chance of somebody getting injured is almost greater if you spread those people out across a broader area.
Well, there's temporary stanchions for lights and things like that, speakers that
fall.
Would be more likely to fall over than a McDonald's.
Fair enough. This texter said about baseball, John, I understand how you feel about missing your son playing ball. When my son played baseball, I could not watch it either. It just tears you apart. You're a nervous wreck, but it's something I treasure every moment, and I miss it so much. That's kind of how I feel. John, this is, and one last text here before we move on. I said that the Mambi on the Beach versus the little plovers was a David and Goliath. They canceled that giant music fest that was going to take place at Montrose Beach in, what was it, 1st of September, end of August, because they've got those little birdies. And I just think that's such a, I did, if you said who's going to win, I would have said, oh, the concert's going to win. The concert will go on. And they'll get netting from the south side. You know, they'll get the same sort of protective screens that we're putting up around ballparks, and they'll find a way to cordon off the birds and make sure nobody hurts them. But that's not what happened. They're canceling the fest to protect those birds. But this texter says it's not just about the endangered species nesting at Montrose. Manny was planned to be on the beach there with the lake at record high levels. The beach is flooded, and that is true. There's just less space. The water is so high on Lake Michigan. And then you got a day like today, and it's really a different ball of wax. I need to pause, don't I? It's 219 on WGN. Okay, so Luis Arroyo Jr. is a county commissioner. He was trying to get a friend's parking ticket fixed, or maybe he wasn't. That's not my main point here, but we'll start there. I want to talk to you about the fines that you do and don't get when you park illegally. This is WGN. Here it is. Thank you, Jay. I found it. I got it. I'm good. It's 222. Almost 22. In fact, if you'd like to stick around, I can get you to 222.22 in just about 4 seconds. Well, that'll be worth the wait. 2-1. Hey, it's 222.22. Too bad it's not 22 degrees. Did you see what happened at 7-Eleven? Speaking of synchronicity, did you see what happened at the 7-Elevens? July 11th, that would have been 7-Eleven. It's 7-Eleven in the evening. A baby was born that weighed 7 pounds, 11 ounces. So on 7-Eleven... It's too bad the kid wasn't born at a 7-Eleven, but that's not good. So on July 11th at 7-Eleven in the evening, a lady had a 7-pound, 11-ounce baby. And I don't know how the folks at 7-Eleven found out about it, but when they did, they gave the lady $7,111, 71111, for the college fund for the kid. Now, that wasn't a, Ashley, am I reading this forwards or backwards? Did they do that as like a contest, a promotion, if you had a kid then, or they just found out about it after the fact? Found out after the fact. That's just so clever. I'm sure companies have, you know, people that are always monitoring their brand name, and if something pops up on social media, this probably was out there, and then somebody walked into the boss and said, hey, look at that, 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven. How about 7-Eleven? Give the kids $7-Eleven, $11 for college. We'll be heroes. They'll talk about it on WGN. It's working. Good for them. Isn't that fun? Where was I? WGN TV's Joe Donlin tracks a handyman who's left a trail of complaints across the city and suburbs. How to avoid getting burned. WGN TV investigates tonight at 9. If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by Mr. Fix at Lou Manfredini of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now. For a limited time, you can get up to 35% off on fiberglass vinyl windows and doors. Fiberglass or vinyl windows and doors. No interest financing for up to 12 months, too. Call Gilkey, 888-3-GILKEY, 888-3-G-I-L-K-E-Y. John, the reason they evacuate the park for Pitchfork is because they don't want liability. I guess that's probably it too, right? I mean, it's just as a practical matter, safe to get the people away from the light stanchions and stages and stuff, but they weren't in our park, they weren't at our event, they were over there.
That's kind of what I was hinting at, that they would sue someone else, but I would imagine it is pretty dangerous around the light stanchions. I don't know how safe it is to usher 100,000 people out through the gates either.
How many parents had their kids go, knowing full well the weather's going to be bad? It's going to be really hot, and storms, hey, kids, storms are coming. You can't win that argument. The kids will divorce you. They'll actually get an attorney, sue you, and they're still going to go to the concert. But you're kind of worried. And then, lo and behold, here comes this crazy storm. And you just feel like, oh, gee, but what could you do? You're not going to not let them go because they're going to go. They'll sue you if you don't let them go. About the young people who vape. Congressman Rich Numerthy is having a hearing on that on Thursday in Capitol Hill. Jay just handed us a list of the flavors that target minors. It's legal to vape, but you have to be of an age, and they're going to be in trouble if they can prove that, if the Congress feels that they are specifically marketing the product to youth. The flavors that Juul pods come in are watermelon, strawberry milk, cappuccino, strawberry lemonade, grape, fruit pods, cream pods, and then menthol and mango and stuff like that, too.
Strawberry milk?
I know. That's the one that's going to get him in trouble.
What? That is the strangest thing. Anyone who even likes to smoke, I can't imagine that sounds appealing.
Strawberry milk. Yeah, so, but, you know, because I'm looking at these and, like, I'm an adult. I love watermelon. So if you said, hey, this is a watermelon thing, that doesn't necessarily mean it's appealing to youth. But strawberry milk sounds like something that's on a cafeteria tray at a grade school.
Yeah. Gross.
Strawberry lemonade, grape, fruit pods, things like that. So we'll see how that goes with the congressman a little later on. My son was complaining the other day. He had bought his city sticker, but he did it online and had them mail the city sticker to him. And then he just left the mail on the kitchen counter and didn't get around to putting it on. And the day or two after it lapsed, his vehicle sticker, he still hadn't put it on. And dang if he didn't get caught.
They are sticklers about that. They're on top
no, the
of
stickers.
It. Stickers. Yeah.
They're sticklers about stickers.
Stickers about stickers. Stickers.
So there's $200. And then they come by and go, huh, this guy who doesn't have his sticker on the thing is therefore not parking. There's two violations at play now, because now he's not parking legally. So then he gets a $75 parking fine for having his car parked where he always parks it out front.
I got my car towed for having an expired sticker one time, and I was on vacation. So it was in there for a few days until I found out.
And the meter runs every day.
Yeah, and when I came home and I couldn't find my car, I was freaking out. And then I had to cash out $500 to retrieve my car. And my apartment complex would not take any responsibility.
This is a crime. This is crazy. I don't know if I'm not even talking about you and your apartment complex, Lauren, but I just think that that's a violation and you should pay a fine. I don't think that's a $275 fine. I just don't think
no.
so.
It's such a small sticker. We have so many things going on. Come on.
Look, the fine has got to be enough to make you want to do it. If it's if the sticker costs $100 and the fine is $110, people are going to risk getting the fine.
Well, they stopped sending letters in the mail for a long time to even alert you that it was going to expire. They honestly use this as a cash cow.
That's what they do. Although, young lady, you're an adult. You've got a car and a job.
Trust me, I've learned now.
You should. Well, there you are.
But I think, hey, in Oregon, they let you get stickers for 2 years. Like, why can't we do that?
Is that why you moved out there? Is that why you moved out there originally?
Yeah, that's exactly why. That's
I said, hey, I can park illegally longer. I'm changing jobs. So you at least had $500 to, you were able to scrape it together and you get your car back.
Well, I put it on a credit card.
And paid 18% interest on that if you didn't pay it off that month. Here's my point. Some people don't have credit cards or don't have $500. And they don't get their car back if it's towed in your case. I just think $275. By the way, if you look at the zip codes where the tickets are issued, 8 of the top 10 are predominantly poor black neighborhoods. And, you know, you can say this all you want because it'll always be true, but it doesn't change anything. It might make you feel good, but you say, well, then don't get it too. Don't park illegally. If you don't have a car, you do all of that you get. But in the meantime, $275 is more than some people actually have liquid. They do not have it. And the car's still sitting there. And so then they get another ticket and another ticket. In 2018, let me make sure I got the year. No, this is 2016. I don't know if this is the last year for which they have full statistics. It's probably gone up since. But let's do 2016. It's in front of me via Mother Jones and ProPublica in Chicago. In 2016, tickets brought in $264 million to the city. These aren't people who didn't put money in the meters. That goes to another company, and that's $1 billion. This is $264 million in tickets for parking without a city sticker or other sticker-related violations. $264 million. That's the city cashing in on people. That's a cash cow. I've got other statistics that will make you go, wow, I'm not going to do that.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy.
Producer Elif soft this week. Ashley's back in the saddle. Why are you doing this one?
Alrighty, so for today we have the Queen's classic just set a record of becoming the first music video released in the 1970s or any time prior of the 90s to cross 1 billion views on YouTube. So to commemorate the milestone, the two remaining original members of the group, Brian May and Roger Taylor, have teamed up with Universal Music and YouTube and Google for some fresh iterations of the 44-year-old single and video.
This is the first video produced before 1990 to cross 1 billion.
Yes, that is correct.
1 billion views. So this isn't Robbie Malik, obviously. This is the original.
This is Freddie Mercury.
I don't even know what the original video looks like. I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
Oh, it's awesome, honestly.
I just see those guys in the car shaking their heads when I think about what the video looks like. I don't think that was the original, right?
No, that was not it. That's Wayne's World.
I see Wayne's World. I see them. Dun, 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 dun. That's the only video I can think of. There's more. There's another video than that? Are you sure? What is the? Can you tell me what the video is? What is the video like? Is it just concert video or? You can kill the music, but I'm just wondering what the...
It's a few guys sitting around singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that's what it is?
Some dancing and...
You're looking at it now?
No, I don't remember it either.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many videos were made in the 70s?
Well, the first one, right? I mean, the first one on MTV was A-ha's Take on Me, right?
And that
was...
Are you sure that's true?
Nope, I'm not.
No, I don't think... That was a really innovative one, but I don't know if that was the first one.
Okay, look that up. What was the first video... Well, what was the video that premiered? Oh, we should know this. Shame on me. We're not going to do well on Trivia Night if we don't know this. What was the first video to play on MTV?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah, Video Killed the Radio Star.
I was thinking of that. Oh, yes, it was that one. That's how I do trivia. Somebody gets it right, and then I go, "Oh yeah, it was that one." And then and I'm very sure of it after you give me the correct answer. Like if you'd thrown in a wrong answer there, I would have gone, "I don't think so." But if you tell me what the right answer is, I know. And to me, that's tantamount to knowing. So, yeah, Take On Me was just an innovative one early on, but wasn't the original one, in case you'd previously heard that.
But it's a great video to reference, Take On Me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Made my son watch it once with me.
Did he think that, wow, that's cool? Or did he just go, yeah, you old people really...
Worse, he Eddie Haskell'd me. He said it was really interesting, but I don't know if he meant it.
Gee, Mr. Wow, Bertrand, Dad. That's a really good video you got there.
Thanks, Dad. I really appreciate
that. Hey, where'd the time go? I'm going to just take off now. About vape shops, John, have you ever been to a vape shop? Congress is going to have what will be contentious hearings on Thursday. They're going after the e-cigarette industry. We were noting that a lot of the flavors that you can get your vape pods in are targeted at kids. They're, you know, sweet flavors and things like that. John, have you never been to a vape shop? Probably not. If y'all don't like vaping and those flavors that they come in, then don't buy them. But I still want a choice. Some of them, gummy bear. Now, that's not Juul, but you can actually get gummy bear flavored smoke to blow around. John, please tell Steve Bertrand that lightning has a higher probability of hitting a person in an open field. Going back to the pitchfork, getting everybody out of the park. Yeah, not only do you have those stanchions, but then you've also got the possibility that somebody in a field might get hit as well. Let's just go back for a minute to the $200 fine if you don't have a city sticker. And then the $75 ticket, because now since you don't have a sticker, you're parking illegally. They are $200 citations. They went up from $120 a few years ago. And this is a $264 million a year or more. It's a quarter of $1 billion. What percentage is of the city's operating budget? 7% of the city's operating budget comes from just sticker violations. Each year, the city of Chicago issues more than 3 million tickets for a wide range of parking, vehicle compliance, automated traffic camera violations, from $25 citations for broken headlights to $250 for parking in a disabled zone. Ticket debts pile up disproportionately. I'm reading from a piece a couple of years ago in Mother Jones. This all still applies. Ticket debts pile up disproportionately in low-income neighborhoods. 8 of the 10 zip codes with the most accumulated ticket debt per adult are majority black, according to ProPublica and an analysis that they did. And the list goes on. So I guess the question is, should they be really high? Because that'll keep people from parking illegally. And by that I mean without a sticker. Or should they come down and just be a little more reasonable? And since I'm feeling it for a member of my family who recently got one of these tickets, I'm thinking that $275 is a little high. Am I wrong about that? I don't think I am. I guess the question is, what should they be? Bertrand said, Lauren, that if it was $50, well, then you just wouldn't get a sticker. You'd just pay the $50.
I don't know about that. See, my gripe is, again, it's something that is out of sight, out of mind for many people. So it's not about lack of responsibility or anything like that. It's not like people wouldn't do it just because they can get away with it. It's because they forget. And the fact that they make it easy to not remember by, one, if you don't send letters in the mail or send an email or something,
yeah.
You know, if you make it a little easier, you know how many things we all have to keep track of in our lives? A lot. So don't punish us so severely for something we probably didn't mean to violate.
Hey, John, how about writing large tickets for all of the people texting and driving? Now, that would bring in a lot of cash. Really, if this theory works, let's just make it so painful people will therefore comply. Then let's make it $500 if we catch you texting and driving. Think about how much money they could make in a weekend.
See, that I'm okay with.
John, the responsibility to pay for the sticker, you think it's a responsibility to take care of the car? Why doesn't Lauren Lapka just blame this on her parents for not teaching her to be responsible?
See, I don't think I'm blaming anybody. I obviously didn't put the sticker on. But I didn't know I needed, like, I don't stare at my license plate every day. So I had no idea it was expiring. Yeah. And then I was on vacation.
See, and then, so then we're also getting texts. And all of your criticisms of people who don't do it are true. They're all, I don't think anybody here is saying otherwise. But I'm also saying, is there a better way to do this? Because it seems to me like what they're doing is just finding a way to make a lot of money. Either because, like Lauren said, it's too easy to forget, or like I'm saying, that the fine is just too high. And sometimes good people make honest mistakes, and sometimes dishonest people try and scam the system. But I think we're asking for too much money for that violation. I'll tell you what, I think if you don't have your headlight out, if your headlight's out, now that's more dangerous to the community than you parking illegally. Shoot, make that guy pay $250 and make it a $50 fine for the other one. A couple of you have pointed out to us that there's been an invention in the last few years. It's called a smartphone. And if you have one of those phones, it has a calendar on there. And you can go to the date that your sticker is due, and you type in a week before, alert me to make sure I have my sticker. And then you'll get a vibration and a ding, and then you'll know. I didn't know that. I've never put something on my calendar to remind me, but I'm going to try and do that sometime soon. And I think my life's going to get better. Let's. Oh, geez, look at all these phone calls. All right. Where do we start? Wally, you're on WGN Radio. You were calling in about Bohemian Rhapsody. Hi.
Yeah, no, actually about MTV. So you guys were right with the Video Killed the Radio Star, but that was in the U.S., in Europe, it was a different song, MTV's first song. Oh. And in Europe, it was actually Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
No kidding. Which is also a fun song.
Starts out with line of that song. And that was the first video that was played in Europe on MTV.
Dire Straits' Walk of Life, is that what it was?
Money for Nothing.
Money for Nothing.
Yep. Yep. And if you think of it, it says, I want my MTV, and that's how the song starts and ends. And that was the first video that they played over here in Europe.
Over here in Europe?
On MTV.
Where were you?
I'm in Switzerland right now.
this planet just cracks me up sometimes.
Yeah, and I can listen to you guys on the internet, and it's just like I'm sitting at home on the radio. Absolutely.
Now, give me some chocolate.
I know. Yeah, quick, make some more
chocolate. That's fantastic.
Are you working over there or just vacationing?
I am. No, I'm working. I'm working. Yep. And I'm 7 hours ahead, so it's closing in at 10 o'clock here for us.
Are you from Chicago and like to listen to us this way just to sort of stay in touch with home?
Exactly, yes. Yes, I listen to WGN all over the world. Yep.
How nice is it over there?
It's nice, but it's hot. We're going to be probably tomorrow. I think we're going to be probably like 32 or 33. About 95 degrees tomorrow.
You know, I saw
which is very unusual. A lot of buildings here do not have air conditioning because it does not get that hot here typically.
I'm paying close attention to the temperatures in Europe because Brenda and I are leading a group of WGN listeners via Kelly Cruises to France next week. We're going to be in Europe. Well, did you see what the Thursday forecast is for Paris?
I thought I heard. Did I hear 100? Is that right?
109.
109. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And again, there's not. Yeah, Europe. They don't believe in air conditioning in a lot of places. So it's a challenge when it gets that hot.
Wally, what a pleasure. So nice of you to call in. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Love the show. Thank you.
That's Wally from Switzerland. Song starting out that way.
Oh yeah, then has a great breakdown. How can you not remember?
This is my era. Don't counsel me on music you weren't even alive for.
But I listen to it all the time.
It's pretty cool because MTV hadn't been invented yet, and there they were singing about it. Lapka, do I have to wait a while for this thing to pick up?
No, it's about to. Give it about 12 seconds.
Big fan of Dire Straits back in the day.
I'm think that's Carmen's favorite band.
Oh, no kidding. As in Mark Carmen?
Mm-hmm.
What did he have a week last week? What with that baseball thing and all? Song. I didn't know it was this song. How about that? That's a good way to kick off a network.
Oh yeah, it's a fun breakdown intro, and then it's almost like an entirely different song when it starts.
Hey John, about you guys talking about vehicle stickers, thanks for the reminder. I just ordered mine.
See?
You're welcome. Yeah, I know. John, I got a $70 ticket in Evanston for parking on a street cleaning day. John, you have the city sticker right on your window. It's not as big as your oil change sticker. Your plate sticker is pretty obvious, too. You're missing the point. We know. Bad. Bad. Hey, Lauren, bad. You're bad.
Yeah, apparently I'm so awful because I can't remember everything.
All right, I need to pause. It's 2:51. 2:54. Hey, John, Wally in Switzerland calls into Matt Bubala's show from all over the world a few times a month. I guess the time change works good for Wally because Matt's on late night overnight on weekends. My old producer, Matt, and that would be early morning, I guess, for Wally. Thank you, Wally, for listening. Tickets for this and other parking tickets, usually non-confrontational, I'm assuming less stressful than pulling someone over for texting. Maybe why it's more attractive to slap the heavy fines on people that are without their sticker renewed. But 773 said this: if the technical violation is failure to properly display the sticker, that was what happened to my son, Lauren. He actually purchased it, but it was sitting on his kitchen counter. He didn't put the sticker on the window. 2 days later, boom, he's got the $200 fine.
Yeah, that's what happened with mine. I mean, I didn't buy the sticker. I will say I just didn't know it was even expiring, but it was only 2 or 3 days that it had been expired that my car got towed.
In his case, he'd actually given him the money. It says a $200 fine for that's outrageous. They should have a way of telling whether or not you've purchased the sticker.
That too, that is a good point.
And really, if they caught you with, when I get to be king, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a grace period. If it's like 7 days before and thinking, well, maybe it's on the kitchen counter or Lauren just hasn't got around to it because she's from Oregon.
Well, and also, I've never even been pulled over in my life. I've never gotten a ticket. I've never been pulled over. I don't exist in police world.
And she seems to be an upstanding citizen. Then
right.
We'll go ahead and say, all right, you got 1 week.
And yet they did that.
I'll put a thing on your windshield and just saying, this is your lucky day, but you better get it done, Missy.
Right. See, I would. Then say. I trust me. Then. Now I never forget to check because of what happened to me.
John, about vaping, I was a 50-year smoker, and vaping has stopped me from smoking. I enjoy banana graham cracker flavor, and I would never go back. That's from somebody that's in their 60s. We're out of time. More of this on Monday's... Oh, shoot, that's right. I know. We got to give away the tickets to the Blackhawks convention. Shame on me. You've been listening, and I appreciate that. So right now, be caller number 12. 312-981-7200. Let's clear the lines. 312-981-7200. Call right now. 12th caller gets tickets to the Blackhawks convention.